God has been speaking to us so much already, even just through the words that we sang in our worship unto him this morning. Just the worship and the songs that we sang this morning. How amazing God is that he orchestrates everything and then he puts everything together. He does it through his spirit. We don't have to do it. There's no mechanics behind it. But God does it through his spirit when we are obedient to him and when we're listening to him. So I want to say, well done, worship team. Just the songs that we sang this morning and just that attitude of worship, it just props up and it just lifts up the message this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We worship you, we praise you, and we declare that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our hearts and in this place this morning. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of our lives. And Father, I thank you that we've come and we sit at your feet this morning in a place of surrenderedness towards you. Father, I thank you that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit. Father, I thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles, that would take place during the preaching of the word this morning. I thank you, Father, that this place, this morning I saw this place, it was full of water. And the waters were beginning to turn, and they were beginning to stir. And in that, I believe God is about to do something amazing and something new in the lives of his people. So Father, we rest, we trust in you. We rest and we trust in you. Father, I ask today that as I would share your word, that it would be your heartbeat and that would beat amongst your people today, Father, that you'd open our eyes and that would touch our hearts to see. We love you and we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That one song that the worship team sang this morning, that to come and to lean back and to rest in Jesus, and to feel his heartbeat, and to drink from his cup. And that's a lot of my message this morning. How crazy is that? God orchestrated that song. For quite a while now, and our vision and mission statement, Do you all have one of these cards? Yes. I've actually got quite a few of them. So in some of the books that I read, I put them in there. So when I open up, it pops out. And I'm reminded of what it says on this bookmark. To know our Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known. Sure. And it's about going and partnering with the Holy Spirit. And that's quite an important statement, to know Jesus. We've got to know him first, and then we go out and we make him known in a dark and dying world. And just as Basil shared with us this morning, all the things that are taking place out there, where the enemy is hard at work, the Spirit of God is moving amongst his people. Just as Satan is working out there, the Spirit of God is moving amongst his people. And he's raising up a mighty army. He's raising up a people that are dedicated and a people that love him. Amen? Practicing the presence of Jesus. And the title of my message this morning is Rest. To rest in Jesus. And before we start, I want to read a scripture. It's Matthew from Matthew 22. And we're going to read from verse 36, Matthew 22 from verse 36. And I'll be reading from the NLT this morning. "Teacher, which kind of commandment is great and important? The principal kind in the law. Some commandments are light, which are heavy." And he replied to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, intellect. This is the great, most important principle and first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your soul." Our relationship with the Father. And I want to ask you this morning, how do we measure success? How is success measured? We see that in kingdom, in eternity, that success is measured by our relationship with the Father. That's our love for Him. That's how success is measured. In our walk, in our relationship, in our intimacy, and our rest in Him, our love for the Father. I've got a couple of things that I wrote down here this morning that we need to be careful of, where we fall in love with the wrong things, and they become blockages in our walk with Jesus. It's things that stand before Jesus and us. The anointing, our giftings, our talents, our bank accounts, our houses, our achievements. We've got a tendency sometimes to rest in these things, be confident in these things. We're secure, but what by what we've built around us. In Luke 12:34, the Word of God says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Our Father wants to be known. Our Father wants to be known. And that only comes from a place of rest in Him. I can only know Him if I'm resting in my Father. Just in preparing the message, I just feel that a big problem that we face in the body of Christ today is that there is a lot of doing and not enough being. Our doing has exceeded our being. Amen? Our doing has exceeded our being. And it all goes back to the Mary and Martha. And I know it's come out a lot here and a lot in our prayer time in the upper room on a Wednesday evenings. The Mary and Martha. And many of us suffer with that Martha syndrome. We're busy with so much. Our lives have become so cluttered. We can't see Jesus anymore. We can't focus on Him anymore because all these things that we're doing and all these things that are around us. Our doing has exceeded our being. And I feel that Jesus is turning that. Slowly but surely, He's turning that ship. Where He's bringing us that we will function from a place of being with Him and in Him. We know how to do church. We've got to a place where we know how to do church. We're good at it. Aren't we? Yeah, we're good at it. We've become so confident in ourselves in many ways, in many aspects, that we've left Jesus out of it. And we pray, and when we face things, when we face situations, difficulties in our lives, then we run to Jesus and we ask Him to be part of what we're doing. Invite one, bring one to our Lord Jesus Christ and to make Him known. So, how can we reach out and love a broken world? if we are not first in love with Jesus and ourselves. Wow. How can I change a broken world? How can I reach my family? How can I reach and I touch my workmates if I'm not first in love with Jesus? And we're going to explain that. The word says that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. If I love Jesus, if I'm loving Jesus, I love myself. Let's turn to Psalms 103, verse 17 and 18. Psalms 103, verse 17 to 18. You all there, you all got that. Inasmuch as you're taking notes, you're trying to get all these scriptures down, I want to ask you this morning to listen with your heart. And my prayer is that God would write this message deep within your heart this morning, that you would leave here changed, that your vision would be different. But the mercy and loving kindness of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting upon those who reverently and worshipfully fear him, and his righteousness is to children's children. Wow. To such as keep his covenant, hearing, receiving, loving and obeying it, and to those who earnestly remember his commandments to do them, imprinting them on their hearts. And I want to just touch on a little bit this morning, praise and worship. So what is it to praise and what is it to worship? So is the worship just the lifting of my arms? Lord, I worship you. Father, I praise you. Is that it? We come and we worship him. And we praise him. We worshiped him this morning in song. Now I believe it means to kneel down, to bow down. It's not just physically, but you know what it is? It's a position of the heart. It's a position of the heart before God. It's an act of adoration towards him. You know what God wants? You know what he's looking for? This. He wants this. Why does he want this? Because it's the very thing that pumps life through this physical body. It's the very thing that brings life. If we want to know what God is doing right now, if you don't want to know what God is doing right now in the body of Christ, often we've got a tendency to go to the book of Revelation and quickly to scramble through that and to know what God is doing in these end times, in these last times, which, yes, I believe it is. God is, we're going into a serious time with the church like never, ever before. So if you want to know what Jesus is doing, we need to go back to the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis, where we see that the Father walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, Jesus wants to walk with us. The Father wants to walk with us, with you and me. That's why he created us, was for a relationship with him, to walk with him and to communicate with him, to share our hearts. You know what the most amazing thing is? When I'm walking with my Father, I become like him. I become like him. When I'm walking with my Father, guess what? I begin to think and I begin to speak like him. Isn't that right? Yeah. That's where he's taking us right now. Back into that place of intimacy where we'll walk with him, we'll speak like him, we'll know him. So I want to just share a little bit about Lynn and I. So I came from a little dorpie up in Rhodesia. We landed here in 1982. And it wasn't long after that in South Africa, a friend of mine invited me to a get-together with some friends of his. I said, no, that's great. I'd love to. And lo and behold, Lenny was there. Sure. Yeah. And God connected us. You know, when God connects, it's amazing. When God brings together, it's amazing. You don't have to work at things and everything just comes. It's like two gears coming together and they work together and they mesh together. And that's what happens when God puts something together and he connects it. And over the next couple of weeks or the next few months, every night I'd get it at 5 o'clock. I'd rush home, get changed, and darn, I'm on my way to Parktown. I stayed in Springs. I think it got to a point where I'd get in my car and it would start itself and it would make its own way to Parktown. It knew how to get there by itself. Why did I do that? It's because I fell in love with her and I loved her. And every bit of the time that I had, I just wanted to be with Lynn. And yeah, we didn't court very long and we got married because we knew that's what God wanted for us. And it was through that that I came to know our Lord Jesus Christ through Lynn. And the reason why I brought that up is our walk and our relationship with God. When we first give our lives to Jesus, sure, we're on fire. And we're running and we're trying to do everything that we can to please our Father. To do everything that we can just to be with him because I want to be in his presence. And you know, when our lives get too cluttered and we get too busy, we lose that. We lose that. And our Father doesn't want that for us anymore. He wants us back in that place where he's number one here in my heart. And my heart belongs to him. He has created us for great things. And he's got a job for every one of us to do here. And that's the commission, the Great Commission. Where he commissions us to do what he's called us to do individually out there in a lost and in a dying world, in that dark place. But I want to say to you today that we do the commission from the place of blessing. We do the commission from the place of blessing. The blessing comes before the commission. When you're working from a place of rest, you're going to see God move. And I believe that the problem that we've had, we've turned this thing around. And we're doing the commission. And then we ask God to come and to bless. So we come to that place first where God blesses and then he commissions. We come to that place first of I'm feeling God's heartbeat. And then he sends you out and he commissions you and he blesses you. It becomes so much easier when we're doing it the right way. Is that right? It's only from a place of rest I get to be a reflection of my Father. From a place of rest, I get to that place where I'm a reflection of my Father, of my Daddy. Everything that Jesus did in ministry was from an overflow of his Father. Everything that he did. When I was reading the Word the other day, this is just something that jumped out at me, and I just kept looking at it, and I just couldn't get it out of my head. The word says that he only did what he saw his father doing. Wow. He only did what he saw his father doing. He only spoke what he heard his father saying. That's why it's so important to walk with my daddy. I get to that place where I'm doing what he's doing. I'm speaking what he's speaking. I'm seeing what he's seeing. We were created to rest in him. For me, that teaches me that God loves us for who we are and not for what we do. He loves us not because of us, but because of who he is. Isn't that right? He loves us because of who he is. When we choose to stop and rest, guess what? We are honoring the image of God in us. I believe that's the heart of Christianity. That's the heart of Christianity. God wants a relationship with his people. He wants to talk with us. And you know what? Satan's sly. Very, very sly. You think you know him. He's sly and he's cunning. If you're not walking close to Jesus, you don't know, haven't got the Father's heartbeat, you know what? He'll come and he'll trip you up and he'll distract you. He'll bring distractions and he'll keep you busy. And slowly but surely, he'll pull you away from that flow of the Spirit, what God is doing in your life. Satan will do all that he can to stop that, your relationship with the Father. He'll keep you busy. He'll keep you working away and peddling away at those things. You know what happens when you peddle away and you're doing your own thing? It takes you further and further and further away from God. And when you finally wake up, you're over here, you know what, you're going off in the wrong direction. And the Father's sitting here waiting for you. Where are you going? Don't let it consume you. Because Satan knows from that place of intimacy with the Father, guess what? There is strength, there is power, and there's vision. Strength, power, and vision. Those things come from a place of intimacy with the Father where I've got his heartbeat and that's pumping in my life. So what does the word rest mean? What is the meaning of the word rest? It means to cease from action or motion, to be free from anxiety or disturbances, but I like this part the most. It says to remain confident and to trust. So when I'm in a place of rest with my daddy, with my father, I'm confident. And I'm in a place of trust. I trust him. I trust him with everything. So I want to get back to this little card again. To know our Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known. Before we can feed the world, we need to be fed by our Father. Before I can go out there and feed the world, I need to be fed by my Father. I can't take nothing out there. I've got to function from a place where my Father is feeding me. So I can take that and I feed those around me. Let's turn to Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Are you all still awake? You with me? Just checking. See, Dieter's going, yes, just checking. Amen. Let's see what the word says. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active and persistent the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Looking away from all that will distract. Sure. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and source of our faith. Wow. Giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking away from all those things that distract me. So what is the word saying? It's easy. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus and not on everything that is going on around us. You know, we're reading the word, and the word says that the Father was pleased with Jesus, yet he hadn't done anything at this stage. When just before Jesus was baptized and when the dove was still coming down, he says that I'm well pleased with my son. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus hadn't done any miracles yet. But his Father was pleased with him. God loves us as we are. Nothing we can do will make him love us more or less. In Matthew 4, we see that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. But just before the end of that 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness, Satan comes along and he tries to entice and to destroy Jesus. He's cunning. He's very cunning. And he used scripture. He tried to bring that in to lure Jesus away. That same battle that Adam and Eve fought in the garden, Jesus was now fighting in the desert. That same battle. Satan spoke the word. But you know what? Jesus saw it as counterfeit. He knew, no, it's counterfeit. He knew it wasn't right. And he rejected it straight away and responds with the accurate word. So what was that all about? Because Satan also took him to a high place and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, if you'll worship me, you can have all of this. Showed him all the kingdoms. You can have all of this stuff if you worship me. That's actually what it's about. Satan seeks our worship. He wants our worship. The enemy will leave when we truly worship, where we can't be distracted. So you're in a place of worship, and you walk in a close walk with Jesus, the enemy is not going to easily distract you. You're going to see it for what it is. And I know it's been mentioned here quite a few times about the right thing and the counterfeits. And I know people that deal a lot with money. They don't spend a lot of time, they don't spend any time playing with counterfeit money to get to feel what it looks like and what the paper feels like and all that. They don't do that. They spend all their time feeling the original notes. And then when the counterfeit note comes along, when they touch it straight away, they can feel, no, this is not right. This is not right, and it took and it's pushed to one side and it's rejected. And that's what happens with us when we're walking with the Father. We don't have to dabble in all those things to know what is of God and what isn't. If you're doing that, Satan's going to come and he's going to pull you away. I just need to stand with truth. I need to stand upon the rock. And I just rest in my Father. And when the false and the counterfeit comes along, straight away I'm going to see it for what it is and reject it. So our seaway vision is to make him known, is to know him and to make him known. We see that the disciples walked with Jesus. They saw and watched everything that Jesus did and everything that he heard. Everything that he said, they heard. And when Jesus left and went back to the Father, the disciples did what they saw Jesus doing and all that he said. It was easier for them after that point because they walked with Jesus all that time and they saw what he was doing and they heard what he was saying. And when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came and empowered them. And the disciples walked out, mimicking and doing exactly what Jesus did. That's why it's so important in this hour and in this time to walk in that place of rest with our Father, a place of intimacy with him. Satan's not going to pull you out of that place. Let's turn to John 15. But when the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who comes proceeds from the Father, he himself will testify regarding me. But you also will testify and be my witnesses because you have been with me from the beginning. I'm sure I've shared this with you before, but I just feel I needed to share it again. Quite a while ago, a few years ago, I've been praying, Lord, I got frustrated in my walk with God, and I started praying, and I asked the Father, Father, I want to be your eyes. I want to be your hands. I want to be your feet. I want to be where you are. Show me where you are. I want to be there, Father. Where you're at work, let me be there. And Lenny and I, just up at Christmas, just before we went away, we prayed and we asked, Lord, that regardless, yes, we're going on holiday, but that you would lead us to where you are at work and that you'd use us and that he would also speak to us. And God did that. We went to a place called The Nest and Lenny booked for us to go and have a back massage. But while I was having the back massage, I just had the picture of the manager of the Nest, that hotel. I saw him sitting on a bench under a tree. I thought, sure, that's weird. But anyway, this lady carried on. And I left it like that. I got up and I was meandering through this path, making my way back to our cottage. And chook, lo and behold, I come past this big tree. On the stool, sitting the manager of the Nest. So I waddled past him. I thought, no. So I went back, because I knew the Lord was speaking to me. And I began to minister to him. And God touched that man. And what I saw there was, I did what I saw my father doing. God gave me a picture of what he wanted to do. And I stepped out in faith and I did what he was asking me to do. And that's what he's wanting to do with all of us here today. That when we go out there, we're going to be about our Father's business. And we're going to do what our Father is showing us. Amen? We've often said that we are a supernatural people. Are we a supernatural people? Yes, we are. I believe that only comes from a place of resting in God. God is taking the body of Christ into the supernatural. It's the supernatural that's going to change the world out there. It's the Spirit of God. It's the light of life. The living power of God in me that's going to change the world out there. It's the only thing that's going to do it. As a young Christian, I prayed, and when I started reading the Bible, I got to Elijah, and I was just reading through Elijah, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to be like Elijah. I'm sure we've all done it. We read through, and I want to be like this guy. I want to be like that guy, because all the things that they were doing. And yes, that was my heart. I said, Lord, I want to be like him. But through all the years in my walk with the Lord, it became like a striving. And I felt that I had to jump through all these hoops to be who God wanted me to be. And I got to a point in my own walk where I had to stop. I had to stop. And I said to the Lord, Lord, this can't be. It's tiring me out. I'm getting tired. And I found this book, Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. And God started speaking to me through this book. And he brought me to that place where he wanted me to come. That's all he wants, was for me to rest in him and to love him and to be with him. And when I'm doing that, all that other stuff will just happen. It happens. All that stuff will happen. I listened to a testimony that Derek Prince gave. And Derek Prince is a man that traveled the world. He went to many, many countries preaching the Word of God. And he saw many, many signs and wonders and miracles in his day. And he got to a point in his life where he thought, Lord, he just felt that something just wasn't right. And he'd been traveling and preaching for, I don't know how many years, 20, 30 years already. And the Lord started speaking to him about that word, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And he said he started applying that in his life. We had to come to a place of stillness and knowing his Father again. And he said it took like 6 months the Lord to unclutter his life. We need to be careful that we don't clutter our lives, who's we're not going to see for all the clutter. Remember earlier on I said that we've become self-sufficient. We do things so well, and we do church so well because we are self-sufficient, and we know how to do everything. So I want to change the picture a little bit. So Moses leads the people out of Egypt, and they start following him. He comes to the sea. Now, they block. They can't go forward, and they can't go backwards because now they know they've got the enemy coming up behind them. But God speaks to him, and he knows exactly what to do. But I want to ask you something this morning. If you were Moses, put yourself in Moses' shoes. Eleni's laughing. She knows what I'm going to say. Put yourself in Moses' shoes. Remember, like I said, we've got to a place where we're doing things so well in our own strength. We would probably look at all these people, million. There were a lot of people there. And they came out of a place where they knew how to construct, they knew how to build, because that's what they were doing all their lives. They were slaves to that. They were building stuff. They were building stuff in Egypt. They were constructing things. We would probably look and we think, oh, you know what, these oaks can build. They can construct. They can build amazing things. We would probably pray, Lord, send me 1 million wheelbarrows so that we can take all the sand that's on the shore, and we can build banks along, and we can close off the water, and we can walk through onto dry ground. And that's sometimes the problem that we have. We try and do God's work for him, and we think we're doing good. We think we're doing it the right way. You know, all Moses had to do, God spoke to him, all he had to do was raise his staff. That's all he had to do. In that place of intimacy, God speaks, and it's easy. It becomes easy. That's where he becomes a supernatural God, and that's where we will see the signs, wonders, and miracles that we've been crying out for. Let's not do it in our own strength. Let's not do it in our own wisdom, our own insight. Let the Spirit of God lead, and let's do what our Father is asking us to do. We can't take an empty lamp out into a darkened, into a dying world. We've got to take the light of life. We've got to take the Spirit of God out there. For many of us, we're rubbing shoulders with the world. And God hasn't asked us to become like them. We're going to these places and we become like them. At the Braai's, we're telling the same jokes they're telling. We're laughing at the same things that they're laughing at. We're becoming like them. You know, our Father hasn't purposed it like that. We're not chameleons. We don't take on the color of the ground in the place that we're at. We're supposed to be different. Our very blueprint and our DNA is different. We're different. It's no longer I, but it's Christ in me. I'm taking the light of life, I'm taking Jesus, I'm taking the Spirit out there. And he's asking us to be that. The world needs that. Unless the Lord builds the house, those that labor, labor in vain. The word also says that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. It's a simple message. Let's trust and let's love him. He wants our hearts. And just as I said to you, yes, it's a simple message, but you know what, eh? It's going to cost us. It's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. God doesn't want half. He wants every part of your heart this morning. It's a life based on rest and trust in him. And I want to leave you with this morning. Come back to your first love. Come back to your first love. Come back to your first love. There's two areas I want to pray for this morning. You're not falling asleep on me, are you? No. In preparing this, I saw two houses. You know, often we watch that program on TV where they're going to these houses and they're so cluttered they actually can't get in by the front door. They've got to make their way through all their stuff. All the stuff to get to the person that's in the room in the back over there to save him and to bring him out. I had a picture of that, of this cluttered house when the door opened. Wow! You couldn't even get in because of all the chutzes that was inside there. Then I had a picture of another house. And we've shared this before on a Sunday morning. The outside looked awesome. It really, really did. But when I went close and I looked in by the windows, the door was locked, by the way. When I went in, I looked by the windows. It was empty and it was dusty. It was empty and it was dusty. And I believe that the Lord is speaking to us here today. And maybe that's you. Your life has become so cluttered. There's just so much going on inside you. You can't see anymore. You can't hear him anymore because of that clutteredness, being distracted. And the other one was we ventured off so far from God that my house is empty, my heart is empty. And Jesus wants to this morning. He wants to come and fill that house and he wants to unclutter the other one. Amen. God has been speaking to me a lot on this about resting in him, trusting in him, a walk of intimacy with him. And I want you this morning to hold on to that. Let's rest in him and let's trust in him. Amen. So can I pray for those two houses? Amen. Let's stand. Father, we know that it's not about us. But it's all about you, Jesus. And Father, that you've been speaking to us as a body for a while now, for a long time now, about sorting our lives out, about coming into that place of intimacy with you and rest in you. Coming into that place of really, truly knowing you, where we as a people, Father, would have the heartbeat, Jesus' heartbeat. And I know, Father, that you're wanting us to carry that heartbeat out there. That when the people look at us, they're going to see Jesus in us. We wouldn't have to say anything, but it's just the very presence, they're going to see Jesus in us. So Father, I thank you that as we stand here today, maybe my heart is cluttered, My life is cluttered with so many things. I take all of that today. I take all of it today and I lay it at your feet. All the concerns, all my worries. Father, even all the idols that I've placed before you, I take all of that, I lay it at your feet, and I give it to you this morning. And Father, as I do that, that freedom will come, that freedom will come. And Holy Spirit, I ask today that you'd begin to blow in those hearts, that you begin to blow in our hearts. And as you'd blow, that you'd revive again the fire and the light of life. And Father, where we've closed our hearts off to you, we open up today. And we ask that you'd come in like a flood. And as you'd come in like a flood today, that there would be life. That there would be life. That rivers of living water would begin to flow again. So Father, we stand here today and we say that we love you. We love you, Father. We fix our eyes on you, we rest in you, and we choose to follow you into all that you're calling us to. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just before we close, I'd just like us to sing that song again, to rest in Jesus.
In your peace, so overwhelmed.
you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Malcolm would just like to share with us just a vision that he had.
This thing on. Thank you, Arvin, for a wonderful message. Spoke to my heart, as I'm sure it did to everyone here. The vision I gave you was the short version, but I really want to lay my heart before the church today and tell them about prayer and fasting and what it meant to me, or fasting and prayer. As you can see from my magnificent physique, fasting never did anything for me. And prayer, I believed, was something that we did when we wanted God to bless us. As I'm sure a lot of you understand that. But I realize now that that was a lie, a temptation from the devil to get me to not do it. However, Ian and I committed ourselves to the fasting, the 40-day fasting and prayer that we're going through at the moment. We do it on a Friday. And this Friday evening, during our prayer time, which was our supper time, I had this vision, and it really blew my mind away. I saw in front of me a vast vista, like a plain, a grassy plain. And right at the far end of this plain was a mountain. Now, I know in Psalm 15 it says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary, who may rise on your holy hill, ascend your holy hill. So I knew that the mountain represented God's sanctuary. And as I watched and I looked at this plain in my spirit, I saw myself moving slowly towards it. You know, I can't run anymore and I can't walk fast, but I'm good at plodding. And that's what I was doing. And as I plodded forward towards this mountain, knowing that it was a very, very long and far and arduous journey, I saw the whole scene change. The mountain and plain seemed to be coming towards me. It started to move towards me. And as it moved, it got faster and faster and faster and faster. And the message I get from this that you can all take home from you is this, that as we move towards God, He rushes back towards us. Bless His holy name.
Amen.